With the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, youth and young adults 18 to 24 years old appear to be most vulnerable to adverse mental health conditions such as depression, anxiety, stress, trauma, and suicide.
Today on Real Family Talk, we will discuss the impact of COVID-19 on the mental health of our youth and young adults and how to help them find hope for a brighter future. Join us. According to the United Nations Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, the mental health and well-being of whole societies have been severely impacted by this pandemic crisis and are a priority to be addressed urgently.
The Centers for Disease Control of the United States reported that 40.9% survey respondents said that they had at least one adverse mental health condition, such as depression, anxiety, stress, substance abuse, or trauma-related disorder.
These troubling numbers among youth and young adults really stand out. 3 out of 4 18 to 24-year-olds reported at least one adverse mental or behavioral health condition, and 1 in 4 reporting seriously having considered suicide in the past 30 days. Wow, that's 25%. Here to discuss this most critical issue is Dr. Torben Berglund, a psychiatrist and psychotherapist who serves as Associate Director of Health Ministries for the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We also have Pastor Gary Blanchard, Director of Youth Ministries for the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Welcome, Torben and Gary. We're delighted
you can be here. Thank you, Elaine and Billy.
So, Torben, what has been the impact of COVID-19 and quarantine on people's mental health?
Well, I think we have to recognize it can have gone both ways. Some may have been thriving during this time. I talked with a friend of mine, he said, it's been one of the best times of his life, being at home with his son, spending time together, working from home. For some people, that can be the reality. While we know for sure, as you referenced also, for many people, people have been vulnerable, people especially who have been struggling already, they may have been struggling more during this time. And as you see, there's all kinds of mental health issues, but like the big ones are depression and anxiety. That accounts for the majority of mental health issues and the most normal ones to struggle with. And we see for sure these issues are up among many people. Many people who before maybe were able to cope, manage, now are struggling more. And probably I think many of us, we read about it in the news. We maybe, if we are into health professionals, we read about research reports on this. But many of us, we also hear this from friends and family and church members that people are struggling more. This is truly a stressful time. And it's okay. I think that's a message also. It's okay that it is stressful because it is a crisis.
Right.
It is difficult. So I think that's one of the things that are important just from the outset to just acknowledge this is difficult.
Yes.
And we have to work together on this to get through this.
So what I'm hearing you say, Torben, is that it's a mixed bag. Yes, in fact, some people have been adversely impacted, but others have found it a refreshing time of connecting with family and being closer to their children, being closer to their spouse. And yet we have to be very mindful of the impact it has had on individuals, the adverse impact. Now, Pastor Gary, I would like to ask, what has been the impact on our youth and young adults?
Wow, I think Torben really brought out a good point. For some, they've been very resilient and they've grown as a result. But for others, as your statistic mentioned a little while ago, it's been a disaster for them emotionally. They've gone through a lot of struggling. We had some young adults here at our home just this weekend to spend some time. We were social distancing, had a little bonfire. And I've noticed that there is a great hunger in our young people for the fellowship that they've missed, whether it be at church, whether it be at school. They're really hungry for that time. And virtual doesn't quite cut it. And like Torben said, some people just love the virtual. That's it. All that is wonderful for them and they enjoy it. But many of our young people are hungry. Even those who like the virtual experience are hungry for the fellowship. They're missed that one-on-one with flesh and blood with each other. So we can see a mixed bag, as you mentioned, Willie, and around with our young people today.
I mean, we are social beings, and God made us to be social. So when we lack that social interaction, we feel somehow cheated, like something is happening here that should not be happening. So I'm not surprised that people find it gratifying when they're able to come together and have that human contact. Continuing our conversation, Torben, what would you say people think about when they're thinking about the future? What does that look like? What are they thinking? What do they see? What do they feel?
Well, I think that's a major issue that most of us are facing, and especially I think the younger people are, the more they wonder about the future. Those of us who have decades experience being adults, we may see, okay, we know what life in this world is like. We'll probably get back to it somehow, some way. But I think especially the young people who are like growing up in this situation with the pandemic and all the other issues that we are facing in society, in politics, environment, all these issues. The American Psychological Association, they published a report recently also that about stress in the United States, and they emphasized this, that all these various kinds of stressors, crises that we are experiencing, they come together. And on top of that, COVID-19, and especially what they emphasize, the Gen Z generation, the Gen Z teens 13 to 17 and Gen Z adults 18 to 23, again reflecting the findings in the CDC report that you highlighted, also that this is a particularly vulnerable group that is struggling the most. So the paradox of this pandemic is that while young people are the physically, sort of in general, the most resilient, mentally, they seem to be the most vulnerable to this pandemic. And that's why we need special care and attention to them, as we do also like to the vulnerable population, because they are also struggling. Many of them, people are dying in isolation, disconnected from family and friends. People, maybe you have dementia, you know, in retirement homes, that kind of things. That don't get this social contact that is essential for our mental well-being, our physical well-being, our social well-being. So all these things come together. But especially, I think, for the young people, the uncertainty about the future, what kind of world and what kind of life is ahead of me, that's, I think, is a really big, big question and a valid question that young people are asking.
Thank you. Pastor Gary, what would you say are some of the coping mechanisms? What is the gospel doing for young people? Is it making an impact? Is this a way for them to feel hopeful for the future? What would you say about that? You are the youth director.
Wow, that's an awesome question. I'm glad you asked me that one, Willie. You know, one of the things that young people are discovering in this time is that even though we do need to social distance from each other, we do not need to social distance from Christ. He is there for us. We can go to him. In fact, he says in John chapter 6, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. I heard a young person share with me the other day that he was thinking to himself, you know, maybe this pandemic is an opportunity. Well, of course it is, but he said, maybe it is a distinct opportunity for us to get right with the Lord, to build our relationship with him. To study the Word of God, to pause, to put a pause on our life, because we can slow down now. We've been forced to slow down in many ways. And he said, maybe this is the time for us to stop social distancing from Jesus and get closer to him in this pause in our life.
Amen.
You know, one thing I'm also noticing, Willie and Elaine and Torben, Doctor, is that a lot of young people are getting involved in podcasts and getting involved in YouTube channels. I heard that there's a spike right now in that. So young people are really taking advantage of this time to learn how to do a better job of presenting themselves on social media platforms. And this means that the gospel is going out there in many ways too. Young people are starting their own ministries online during this time, and it's been a real surge in that direction.
Excellent. Excellent.
We also see a lot of young people prioritizing exercise and taking care of their bodies and doing things that they may have been distracted from doing in the past that are positive for them.
Okay. Okay. After a short break, we will talk more with Dr. Torben and Pastor Gary. Stay with us.
We're back to talk more with Dr. Torben and Pastor Gary about the mental health of our youth and young adults, especially during this pandemic crisis. So, Pastor Gary, before we went to break, you started talking about what some young people are doing regarding exercise and podcasts and all of that. But I also want you to touch a little bit on those who are not tuning in and why we are in the midst of this serious mental health crisis here during this pandemic.
Well, you know, if there's no place you can go, you're kind of stuck in the virtual world. And there is much that the world has to offer in that realm on Netflix and, you know, prime time. There's movies after movies after movies that people can watch. And I think a lot of young people find themselves caught into that addiction of watching and being entertained and kind of just hoping this will all pass and trying to fill in the time that they don't know what to do with. Unfortunately, the world is filling their minds with things that can discourage them, that can tempt them, and can also depress them. And so, you know, we're challenging young people around the world to use this opportunity to better themselves, to study things that strengthen their mind, to listen to music that builds them up, that encourages them, that gets their focus on the Lord Jesus in this time, a God that wants to be close to them in the midst of this pandemic. And just not to say that movies are bad and music is bad, but being very careful on what you're filling your mind with at this time so it strengthens you in the Lord during this crisis.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Dr. Torben, from a psychological or therapeutic perspective, how can we help our young people not fall into this trap of binge watching? Because that's what I'm seeing a lot of, you know, oh, I binge watched, you know, three shows this weekend. That's a lot of binge watching. And as Pastor Gary said, I mean, some of these programs can actually lead you down a road into deeper darkness and depression. So what would you advise for our young adults?
Well, I think it's important to consider what is the input we're giving into our minds, because we know it's input equals output to some extent. Okay. So, and we have this saying, junk in, junk out. And that's something we all need to be mindful of. It's so easy to go to these things that are, whether that's Facebook, it's Netflix, or whatever it is, news, the television screen, and just passively sit and soak in whatever comes our way. Like, to be intentional about what we take in, what we build our days with, what we build our lives with, that's very important. I think for some also, like, these going into these things, it can be a way of escape. It could be a way of coping with emotions, dealing with challenges, getting a pause from things. And like, sometimes it may be okay to do it for a while, but it's just important to be sensitive and reflective about why am I doing what I'm doing, and is this really good for me, what I'm doing? And then if you realize, well, I'm on a bad track here, I need to do something else, then usually in order to stop with something, you should start doing something better. So replacing something bad with something that is better, that's sort of what's the only thing that works. Just stopping with Netflix and then sitting and looking at the wall, it won't work very well. You will be back on Netflix very soon. And if you go on Netflix, well, look at something that is better than maybe what some of the other things are there. So always, like, try to seek for what is better. I think that's a strategy in this.
That is so excellent. And I'm so happy that you mentioned even seemingly good things like the news. You know, I know that even with us, like we like to watch the news, we like to keep up on what's happening. But we even decided in our home recently that at a certain time, we just have to shut it off. Just shut it off and, you know, read some wholesome, healthy books. You know, we're trying to actually read The Great Controversy again right now. Maybe that's a little heavy for some viewers, but you know, just reading more positive things, reading your Bible, reading scripture. Before we wrap up this segment, Pastor Gary, would you like to suggest some other reading materials or other things that our young adults and young people can switch to? I like the stop what you're doing and start doing something else. I think that's easy advice for people to take.
Oh man, so true. And I think Torben hit on it very well. There are some excellent programs out there they can be watching that can fill their heart and bring them joy. There's the movie series that's out today called The Chosen. If you want to binge on something that's going to build you up, it's an incredible program on the life of Jesus. There's also a great book that I discovered recently. I don't know if you've read this. It's called Family Talk by Elaine and Willie. There's a lot of good books out there. They didn't make me do that. But there's a lot of good reading material out there. I love the idea of reading The Great Controversy. I just want to say right now, especially to our young adults listening right now, if there was ever a time to crack open The Great Controversy, a great book by Ellen G. White, to get a hold of that, I think you'll be really blessed. But there's so many things that I could say, a lot of programming. You got Hope Channel. You've got lots of things that you can take in that will actually build you up in the Lord. If I could just say one more thing, there may be some of you listening right now, because you've been binging on the things of the world, that you feel a lot like the woman at the well. You've been drinking from the water, but you're not feeling satisfied. In fact, you find yourself even more discouraged and depressed. And that's really where the world will take you. It'll leave you unsatisfied. But Jesus is the living water. And if we take in things that lift up Jesus, that are in harmony with the Word of God, that build up the Word of God, you will find your depression fleeing. You will find more strength, more encouragement in your life, and you will find that you're drinking from water that's everlasting.
Amen. 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 When we come back from a short break, we will hear about a new mental health initiative. Stay with us.
In response to the current crisis, Dr. Torben Berglund is spearheading a collaborative mental health initiative with General Conference Health Ministries, Youth Ministries, Family Ministries, and Education. This group has recently developed a short video to highlight the challenge being faced. Let's take a look.
Every year, about 800,000 people globally die to suicide. That is about one suicide per 40 seconds. For every suicide, there may be more than 20 who attempt suicide. For every suicide, there's more than 1,000 who suffer from a mental illness, a total of 1 billion, most commonly anxiety and depression. Suicide numbers are not even the tip of the vast iceberg of human suffering.
Being human in this broken world is tough. Suffering is normal in this world. But because of COVID-19, things are not normal anymore. Things are worse.
Around the world, we are seeing dramatic increases in the levels of distress and mental illness due to people becoming ill with COVID-19, but also because of the disruptions to daily life, stress, and isolation. A recent CDC report from the US indicated a tripling of anxiety disorders in the general population and a fourfold increase of depressive disorders.
Among all vulnerable groups, young people seem to be struggling the most. In the age group 18 to 24, 75% reported struggling with mental health or substance abuse, and 25% reported seriously having considered suicide in the last 30 days. That is a lot of suffering. This is serious.
How many are going to die to suicide in your territory in the months ahead? How many will be on the verge of giving up? How many will suffer because of fear, despair, loneliness, and helplessness?
The United Nations says the mental health and well-being of whole societies have been severely impacted by this crisis and are a priority to be addressed urgently. Psychological distress in populations is widespread. Many people are distressed due to the immediate health impacts of the virus and the consequences of physical isolation. Mental health will remain a core concern even as countries emerge from the pandemic.
We need to act, and we need to act now. This must be a matter of utmost urgency for every leader, every pastor, every educator, every parent, every friend. We are in the midst of a mental health pandemic. We have the opportunity now to minister to the present needs of this world. If you want to reach people with present and eternal truths, we must also care for and minister to their present needs. That's what Jesus did. Let us do it too, now, together.
This initiative is not about what the GC will do. It's about what we all must do, together. In the GC, health, youth, family, and education are working together on this. Our initial focus will be on reaching young people between 18 and 30. But we will later expand to other groups. And we pray, hope, and believe that what we do for one group may also benefit others.
We will share recommended resources on how to support mental health.
We will run a social media campaign on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and other relevant platforms.
We will do webinars, interviews, and panel talks online.
You may want to do similar things. You may want to do other things. Do whatever you think is appropriate and according to the needs in your territory. And please share with us what you do so we can share with others.
The world is in crisis. People are in crisis, and we are in crisis. If we stand together and work together, we can make a difference. May God place on your heart and mind a burden to make the difference He is calling you to make. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. Thanks for your collaboration.
Thank you for that outstanding video and for the collaboration that's happening between among these ministries at the General Conference. What do you want to accomplish with this initiative, Dr. Torben?
Well, what I want to accomplish is that people who are struggling don't feel that there's something wrong with them because they're struggling, that we acknowledge that struggling in this world is normal. That's actually normal in the world we're living in. So what we need to do, we need to come together. We need to support one another. We need to be aware. We need to be sensitive to one another and that people are suffering and struggling, reaching out to one another, whatever role we are, whether that's as family members, it's in the church, in our communities, that we care for people who are around us and that we use this as an opportunity to come together.
Thank you. And Gary, what do you hope young people, how do you hope young people and young adults will be helped through this process?
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing to know that they are being heard. I think that's the first thing, that the church is not unaware of what they're going through and the church is stepping up to provide some relief, some understanding, and some places they can go to get the help if they need the help through this time of pandemic and crisis. You know, I loved at the end there, it really highlighted a website that they can actually go to, and it's youthaliveportal.org. So there's a place they can go right now and receive material and counsel and guidance.
Thank you, Dr. Torben and Pastor Gary, for joining us today.
If you'd like to know more about this ministry, go to the website listed on your screen. And if you know someone who is affected by mental illness, reach out to them today and give them some encouragement.
Despite the challenges, let's be encouraged by the words of the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, 6 and 7, that say, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's all for today's Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.